here with Worrell Dane of Sanctuary. Worrell, it's great to have you on the show for the first time in a long time. And what's currently going on with Sanctuary? What do you currently have planned right now?
Well, we got a new record coming out. The new single just hit today. And it's getting amazing response, at least so far. So that's one good thing. But the record is called The Year the Sun Died, and the first track is called Arise and Purify, and that's what's going around all over the net right now. And I couldn't be happier, actually. The record turned out really good, and at this point in my life, I'm kind of amazed that I can still pull this off.
Well, you know, I've always wondered, you know, I've seen you play with Nevermore and actually play Battle Angels and really still pull it off live. And did you think when you came back to the band that you would be able to, you know, really do this again and sing in a way you used to?
Yeah, well, you know, I didn't really think that this would happen, but it did. So I'm just kind of falling into that. And I think Battle Angels live, oh my God. Got to tell you, that's not the easiest thing to do, but I've learned that I can still do it.
Now let's talk a little bit about the Prague Power, because you did play a Prague Power show, and did this reunion and this reformation of the band stem from the show you played down in Prague Power a few years ago?
No, it didn't. I mean, and I kind of like to call it more of a reinvention than a reformation or a reunion, because we kind of have updated our sound a lot, I think. But no, it didn't happen because of the Prague Power show. Mainly, a lot of it came about because somebody wanted to use one of our songs in a video game called Brutal Legend. And that someone was Jack Black, or the game designer guy who's a metalhead, too. I'm not really sure. I'd like to fantasize that it was Jack Black, because I'm a big fan of his anyway. But, yeah, they used Battle Angels in that song, in that video game, and that's what got us all talking again together. And we decided, hey, let's do some shows, and then, hey, let's maybe write some new songs.
Well, I was able to check out quite a bit of what you had going on with that new single because I thought it was really, really good. I really dig what you had going on. And, you know, in my opinion, I've always, you know, really loved the way Sanctuary sounded, especially, you know, not so much the first album, but the second album. So, you know, when I heard the first single, I was really blown away because I thought that you guys kind of picked up where that album left off, or Indomir Black had left off. I should be a little more a little more specific, but I really think it did. And talk a bit about that, Worrell, because, you know, how would you compare this new Sanctuary album to, say, the first two albums?
Well, what I can tell you right now is it's definitely an extension of Into the Mirror Black. It's a progression from Into the Mirror Black, just like the progression from Refuge Denied to Into the Mirror Black. We have obviously all grown as musicians since then, and this record is definitely a very strong statement for that. So when you hear the whole thing, I can hardly wait for you to hear the whole thing, dude. I'm so proud of this thing. It's just not funny. And because, you know, I hear about comeback records and whatever, and a lot of the time I'm just like, yeah, okay, whatever. Sounds like the same band, just whatever. This record seriously kicks ass. And you can probably tell from the track you heard, but yeah, and the funny thing is, dude, is that's not the best song on the record.
Usually the singles never are.
Yeah, I know.
Well, you know, I grew up listening to the first couple Sanctuary albums when I was a kid, and I grew up with Nevermore. I mean, Nevermore was like one of my favorite bands throughout high school, throughout college, and I really grew up on the band. And my next question for you is that, you know, in my opinion, when listening to the record and listening to some of the songs, it really, you know, it does sound a little bit like Nevermore, maybe because of your vocals, but it doesn't really sound like the first two Sanctuary albums either. There's something different about it. And I really, it's kind of hard for me to put my finger on what is different.
Well, that's probably a good thing, I guess. Yeah, I knew that I had to throw in some high-pitched vocals. And I knew that it had to, you know, kind of appease Nevermore fans as well. And I think that I, at least on that track, I kind of hit the perfect mix of both of those. I hope, anyway. I don't know.
Well, as a singer myself, I have to tell you, Worrell, that I thought the vocals were really well placed. I mean, you didn't hit a whole bunch of highs in some songs, but then in some songs you did. And you, like I said, you just picked up where Enid Amir Black left off, and of course that's something you brought up before. But, you know, it's interesting. I had no expectations of this album because you're with a band or a group of guys, different guitar player, people that you haven't jammed with in a long time, and it's kind of cool to hear what the output comes out like when you haven't been jamming with somebody for a very long time. And I thought the output, you know, it was pretty good.
Cool. Yeah, I think, you know, we when we were writing these songs, we didn't really approach it with wanting to sound old school, but it just kind of came out sounding a little bit old school, at least. And we just wanted it to sound heavy, and you know, six string guitars are something that, you know, people, a lot of people maybe forgot about, but, you know, they're still there. And there's no seven string guitars on this thing, and that's not a slam on Jeff Loomis, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
People have asked me that.
Oh, no, not at all.
Because I still love that guy, and he's still my friend, but, yeah, we wanted this to be the heaviest thing possible within that.
Now, for the older albums, Worrell, since Sanctuary's back together and making records and all of that, have you ever thought about maybe getting the old stuff and maybe thought about, you know, remastering some of it and putting out that live EP possibly into the Mirror Live?
Well, Sony still owns the rights to those first two records. And they were recently re-released on Iron Bird Records here in the U.S. But talking about remixing or remastering them, I don't know. That's kind of a double-edged sword for me. I would love to have them, both those records, have an updated sound, but at the same time, I don't want to destroy the memory.
Well, it was more like I was thinking of remastering them, not remixing the album. So, you know, evening things out, maybe updating the mastered sound of the record as opposed to what it sounds like now, as opposed to remixing the entire album. But you also had an EP called Into the Mirror Live, which I thought was really cool. And, you know, have you ever thought about putting that out?
You know what? That was a radio-only thing that went out to press when that record came out. It's been bootlegged like crazy, dude. It really has. I would love, because there's only a few songs on that little EP, basically, and it's a whole show. I think we played with Sabotage, and it was at, oh God, what the hell was the name of that club in L.A.? I don't remember exactly right now, but I would love to release that whole thing and maybe remix or remaster or whatever you want to call it, that thing. I think that it's definitely a possibility in the future.
It would be really cool if you actually were able to get a hold of that thing and get a hold of the master tapes and maybe actually have that thing come back out.
Yeah, well, you know what? Hey, I'm going to look into that and see if I can make it happen, because actually, really, I don't even have a physical copy of that anymore. I used to. I gave it to one of my friends because they were really wanting it. But that would be a cool thing if we could re-release that, because that was one of my favorite things. And, yeah, like I said, I don't even have a physical copy of it myself.
Now let's talk a little bit about the album and maybe talk a bit about the songs that you wrote on this record and what you wrote some of these songs about.
Well, this is the difference that I'm doing with American interviews and European interviews. No one in America has heard it. Everyone in Europe has heard the whole damn thing, so it's kind of frustrating, But yeah, what I can tell you is it's just kind of an epic concept record, and you'll know when you hear the whole thing. It's kind of like I have to. This is what I can say is that it's kind of the sister or brother record to Dreaming Neon Black from Nevermore.
Okay.
When you read the lyrics and you read in between the lines, I put quotations in there, much like I did with Dreaming Neon Black, so that you understand a little bit of the story. And I can hardly wait for people to hear it, and I'm so proud of this record.
Well, I think the album has come out pretty good, and I have to ask you, since a lot of the Europeans have already heard the album, and they've heard the whole thing, and they've had a chance to digest it, how's the reception been so far for this new record? I mean, Warhol, has it been mixed? Has it been great? And maybe talk a bit about the reception from the European fans.
I haven't got one bad response yet, so I'm kind of waiting for the first bad one. Just because I kind of like that, because I'm a glutton for punishment.
Yeah.
And I just want somebody to just drag it through the mud and tell me it sucks. But I'm pretty sure that's not going to happen. But
yeah.
It's weird that would make my day, but that really kind of would.
Well, it also seemed like a no-brainer for you, too. I mean, you've been with Century Media for a long time with Nevermore, and, you know, it almost, I mean, you decided to sign with them again. I mean, was it something because you're just familiar with them, and you guys decided to sign there?
You know what? I've known most of the people that worked there for, you know, since 1995, when the Nevermore record came out, so it's all like a comfortable shoe. So, you know, you can slip it on. That's cheesy and corny, but it's kind of true.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I know all these people, and I love them, and kind of like family. So that much was easy.
Yeah.
Now comparing your vocals from Sanctuary to Nevermore, or Nevermore to Sanctuary, you know, some of the high notes you do hit on the album, and, you know, some of the high notes you will have to hit live, did you ever think that you could go back and actually do that stuff again as a singer yourself, obviously?
Dude, I had to go back and relearn a lot of stuff. Because, you know, in Nevermore, I didn't. On the first couple, you know, I did use the high voice, but as it progressed and it turned into, you know, the detuned seventh string thing, that high pitched vocals, I don't think really called for. I don't think high pitched vocals were appropriate for that.
Mm-hmm.
The Sanctuary, obviously, doing a new record, I had to do it. So I did a lot of hard work. And trust me, it was hard work. But yeah, my high voice is still there, and I still know how to use it, but it definitely took a little bit of practice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you have any touring plans going so far for Sanctuary coming up this year at all?
Yeah, we have a record release show on the 14th of November in Seattle, and then we're playing Vancouver, Portland. We're doing a little West Coast, but we're still booking things beyond that. So it's just kind of in the developing stages of the touring cycle for this.
Well, Sean Blozo, one of the, you know, the original guitar player in Sanctuary, one of the original guitar players, you know, he didn't join you for the album. You have a different guitar player, and, you know, just out of curiosity, why did you decide to not bring him back into the band?
Well, when we first decided to do this, we called up Sean and we gave him the opportunity to be involved.
Yeah,
and he wasn't really interested in doing that. He's doing other things now, different kinds of music. And I wish him the best of luck, and there's no bad blood anywhere.
Yeah.
So, but at the same time, we knew that Brad could fill in immediately. He actually toured with us when Sean first quit the band years ago. So it was kind of a no-brainer, and I've known Brad for years, and I love Forced Entry.
Yeah.
And I think when you hear the record, you're going to hear a little bit of the Forced Entry solos in there, because they're there. They're totally there. There's kind of no denying it, because he's a very, very, very good guitar player. And I don't think anybody's going to be disappointed.
Well, I'm not disappointed so far. So,
Warren, I've loved the work that you've done over the years, and, you know, Nevermore and Sanctuary. And the one thing I did want to bring up is your solo record, because a lot of people seem to have kind of forgotten about it, and it didn't seem to me make as big of a wave as I thought it should have. But, you know, the solo album was very, very good. It had some great songs. You did a couple of really cool covers on it. And my question for you is, do you ever plan on coming out with another solo record? I mean, you had a lot of great musicians playing on it. And do you plan on putting out another solo album? And if you do, are there any musicians or any people that you've never worked with, or maybe you have worked with, that you'd love to have guest on it?
I'm absolutely going to do another solo record. One of the guys from Central Media had this idea of doing a complete cover record.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, well, you could be the new Johnny Cash. Wow, okay. That's kind of a big statement, but, you know, I'm a big Johnny Cash fan, too, and I love the cover records that he's done, too. But I'm working right now on compiling a list of song ideas and doing that. And after that is going to be another record of original solo songs. But right now, the focus is Sanctuary, and it's going to remain. That focus is going to remain.
Gotcha. Well, I did like the cover of Patterns that you did.
Oh, my God. Don't get me going on Simon and Garfunkel. I love that band.
Well, I got to tell you, though, because I think the album sounded great. That cover was great. And in all honesty, I really think that the solo album did not get the recognition that it deserved. It didn't get the recognition that it should have for what it was. And I really hope that you do come out with one again. And, yeah, Patterns, man. Patterns is a great cover.
Well, yeah, I'm a big fan of lyrics, obviously, and I just love the lyrics in that song, but and that's kind of what I'm doing right now, is picking songs that I really like the lyrics, and the music matches it, and picked quite a few so far, and there's no Simon and Garfunkel going to be on this one, but I'm really in love with this Depeche Mode song, Barrel of a Gun.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Go online and look at that and just read the lyrics. They're messed up. I love messed up lyrics. And that song is going to be super heavy.
Well, I have one more question for you, Warl, and it was great to have you on my show once again. And do you have any last words to say to the fans, and maybe give out some websites and places where people could check out Sanctuary?
Oh, my God. I guess you can do that just about anywhere, checking out stuff about Sanctuary, but, you know, if you want a final statement, this is my blanket statement, and I really like it, so just don't get mad at me if it sounds corny, but start your own religion, people, because the ones we have right now are just not working.